You know, when I was talking about you coming in this morning, people started texting me. And one of them, this guy named Ricky, he says, Tom, you mentioned that Tom Jordan is coming in this morning. He said he taught CPR to the staff at the USP, U.S. prison in Marion for years, very respected by all.
I loved going down there. I loved getting back from there. I wouldn't want to stay, but it was... And I taught CPR for Johnny Logan for 24 years.
Had no idea.
Yes.
So
CPR and first aid.
24 years means you've had a lot of change. A
lot.
Well, when it comes to change, you know, back in the CPR, it's now you'd use the beat for staying alive.
That's right. You can remember the song. I was, you know, but you, and try not to sing during the CPR because it's a little disrespectful.
It is. It's something you got to watch. Yes. What's interesting is you have been around a long time, and you and I have both seen a lot of change.
Yes.
There was a time when in Harrisburg, you got a job, got out of high school, you got a job at the coal mine, and you were on it. I'm fixed for life.
That's right.
Right? That didn't work out. A lot of other people had work and jobs and a sense of security, and then 2008 came, and things changed.
Exactly.
And you've seen all these changes along the way. I don't think we've recovered from 2008 in many respects, when the state budgets and budgets of our local communities, and with the intensity of coal and now its absence in Franklin County. I mean, we've had a lot of challenges over the last 22 years, 25 years.
Absolutely. Our demographics has changed so much in West Frankfort and Franklin County. I remember when I was in high school, Franklin County was one of the largest coal-producing counties in the nation.
Yes.
There was probably 5-7 mines operating in our county, and whenever I started on the fire department in 76, they were building Obin 25, Obin 27, and then we thought we were set. And then I think we became dependent on the tax revenue, the good jobs, the good pay, and the people had money to spend, and they were, it was just a good time. But then, like you said, with the Clean Air Act and everything, coal became the great Satan, and so...
And then more recently, over the last, prior to the last 2 years, you had 8 years of literally what was called a war on coal.
Absolutely. You know, the coal-fired power plants were under attack. So we saw a lot of changes in Franklin County, especially West Frankfort. Our community was, at one time we were the county seat for Franklin and Williamson County. There was a great big area. But
all right. And so when I'm down to Saline County and you talk about Old Ben, I can't tell you how many friends of mine drove from Saline County to work at Old Ben.
That's right.
I mean, it was literally West Frankfort was synonymous with coal.
Absolutely. But that's not, it's not there anymore, and we've had to try to adjust and find different revenues. I think that, I said this to you yesterday, one of our mistakes or things that we were just short-sighted on was that we depended on that, and while Marion and Mount Vernon and other things, area communities looked at the interstate and blossomed, we probably held back a little bit, and we were a little bit behind. So I'm kind of envious of Mayor Butler and what he's done. It's just... What a community at growth down there. And
right.
So we've tried to take some of the things that they've done and implement them in West Frankfort. But it's been difficult, I will say.
It's interesting because somebody, when I was talking yesterday morning with Guy Alonchi, someone texted in, said, Marion is the town that Bob Butler built.
Amen.
And it's kind of interesting. Now, when you think about that, right, coal, the 2008, and the other problems that we've had, it's like we suddenly became... we were on our own.
Right.
And we had to come up with new ways and new things to do, or we were going to go down.
Yes.
And if I was going to hold that West Frankfort thing and what you've been working on, and you took considerable heat for this decision-making process and the money spent, was how many times you see a town buy a mall?
Yes. I think that what precipitated that, first of all, was the fact that we tried to contact the gentleman that owned that. There's 6 or 7 acres of their that facility that's open ground that we could sell, that we could Tractor Supply called. They wanted to know if we could, can we build there? I said, we don't own it. I can get you in touch with the gentleman. He lives in California. The guy, the farthest thing from his mind was to help West Frankfort. Several other situations came along. So what happened was it was for sale, and we just decided that if we had control of that property, there's approximately 19 acres there, but approximately 6 of it is really suited for economic growth. If we had control of that, we'd have a seat at the table when someone came to say, I'd like to come to West Frankfort.
And motivated.
Absolutely.
Motivated out of sheer necessity.
Yes. Another thing, too, the mall was almost empty. There wasn't a lot of growth there. He was not fixing it up. There was a lot of repairs, and it was a bold step. $1.8 million.
And that's one of the reasons why it was a bold step. People looked at what it was and couldn't see what it could be, which comes back to the Butler thing just a couple of moments ago that we talked about.
Exactly.
And that's what you did, but it also took an investment on your part, financial investment.
Right.
What, $2
million? $1.8 million.
Okay.
Yeah, when, I think August of 2015.
What'd you do with the money?
Well, we bought the property. We had some money that we could put down on it, so we put a, we financed it. And then immediately we started trying to look into retail. Well, as everybody knows, you know, Amazon has decimated the retail market.
Right. So. And so you had to start thinking different about what we're going to do. We've seen this happen at two locations in Southern Illinois. And with yours, the needed jobs, is it WPS? Is
that what? Yeah, Wisconsin Physician Services, WPS.
People on phones.
Right. They so what we did, first of all, was we had a lot of work to do on the mall. And again, with being a municipality, we were available, had available grants and some opportunities that we could get for economic growth that helped us a little bit. And so we began to bring the mall back up, fix some things. We put a new roof on it. We bought a couple of air conditioners. One of the things we did, there was no visibility of the mall from the interstate.
Right.
So we spent, and again, it's $50,000 to trim all the trees around it, do some, and make it where that when you're driving down the interstate, you can actually see that there's something over there.
Basic tinted, out of sight, out of mind.
Right. So then we painted the mall, and it was the red and white and blue. But we painted it into a beige, a nice warm color. And then one day, you know, we're trying to fill the mall up, and we're having difficulties with retail, and my mall manager is sitting in there drinking. We have a little coffee shop there, and a gentleman, he tells me this story. WPS gentleman came there to see about it. He was looking for a place. They're in Marion. They have over 500 jobs in Marion, but they were looking to expand, looking for more space, and they came into the mall. I saw it as we drove by. Again, we cut the trees. They
right,
could see
it.
They
worked.
Came in, and then we he's walking around. He's got the phone number of Don Gass, and he's calling it, and it's not answering. So he walks down to VF, and they have a, you know, like store there, and he thought, well, I'll give it one more try. And he calls again, and he hears the phone ring, looks down, and Don's sitting there drinking coffee. Well, it's a Wisconsin number, Madison, Wisconsin.
Right.
So the gentleman walks down and says, you know, I'm calling you because I need some space. Another thing, too, whenever you're the – we own that. And so the city – you deal with me. You don't deal with a corporation. They came to us. Don said, I got this guy. He wants to put in 50 jobs. He wants to have some space, and it may be 100 before it's over with. Wow. So what will you do? You know, we talked to the gentleman. He came in, and I said, we'll do anything you want. We'll make that space available for whatever you need. Well, I need you to upgrade the lights. I need you to do this. We'll pay for a lot of it if you'll help us. We had a great relationship from the jump. I told him, I said, basically, if it's not illegal, we'll do it. We'll help you because we want this place to go. And then out of that relationship, they came in and they said, we want to change West Frankfort. We want to bring jobs here. If I don't, and what, you know, what happened was in September of last year, he was here in like in July and August, we were working on the 50 to 100 jobs. They received another contract, and they were basically took over the billing for all the military people throughout the United States.
Wow.
They immediately needed more space. They immediately needed more, and they came to us and said, can we,
enlarge.
What else have we got?
Right.
So basically we started just redoing the entire, you know, two-thirds of the mall.
So how many jobs now, Tom?
Well, there's 200 out there now, 200.
When you started at 50 and you ended up at 250, beyond exactly. Your expectations and hopes.
Absolutely. And that grew out of the fact of cooperation. He needs something, we provide it. And he says, if you can't pay for it, we can pay for it, but you pay us back. We'll take it off the rent. We
right.
Worked out all kinds of agreements. And then out of that grew a need that we saw that they basically have almost the entire mall. We have retail there. We have VF there. We
right.
Have Bonworth there. We have an insurance agency. We have a hearing aid place. And those places, so you have 200 people in there that's walking around at lunch for 30 minutes and they're shopping. Out of that comes a new gas station,
right.
Mach 1's there. They're going to, you know, and so it was just literally, the gentleman told me, he said, it was almost like you knew we were coming and you were building this and remodeling this and bringing it up to standards so that we could use it. It was just, and I think God was in it. I feel like that, you know, on faith, we took a big step. And
well, and you took a lot of heat for it, too.
We did.
You took a lot of heat for it, especially spending the money. But that's not the only location you've got that's making jobs. And one of those, when you look at this, is, you know, this comes back to 2008. Things shut down, and that meant people stopped buying boats. Boats are a luxury item, and you had Crown Line, and now you've got Crown Line back. How many people work on a Crown Line now?
You know, I don't know. Probably 100. They've got people out there that, and what's nice about Crown Line is every boat that they build is sold. They're not speculative. They're selling their, it's an order type thing, and they're filling it. And we've been out there a few times to ask them, you know, what we need to do. We actually, the previous administration put in a water tower close to them so they could provide better fire protection for them and better water supply. They do a tremendous job. They're a little just south of town there. They do a tremendous job there.
One of the problems Franklin County's had, and you attempted to address, and I think you've had some experience when you brought a new guy online, and that was drugs, crime, Franklin County. Because when the economy goes south, people look for a little refuge, and sometimes it's alcohol, meth, cocaine, whatever the case. But meth was one of those big ones. And you said, look, we're gonna get somebody in here, and we're going to get to work on this. And that guy's name was Mike Irwin.
Exactly.
And my understanding is that he kind of led the charge on training, being more vigilant. How do you think that worked out? I know he is gone now, but, you know, he was up there out of the state police for a long time. This was an issue you taken very seriously. I read a number of quotes about this. How do you feel you're doing in that fight right now, Tom?
You know, being the mayor for two, I'm on my third term. You work through things. When we started out, I had a career on the fire department, so I worked closely with the policemen, and I didn't realize that we just needed a change. I don't feel like that we were addressing some of the issues that we needed, and I needed somebody from the outside. I spoke to Mike. What a straight shooter. He told me exactly what was wrong with my police department was the fact they said you don't have bad personnel, you just lack training. And he said you probably need somebody from the outside that can come in and explain what needs to be done, because they've been doing the same thing for 30 years because that's what they know, that's what they've been trained, that's what they do. He was so honest with me, and we brought him in, and it's been about 2.5 years ago. He came in and immediately changed their training. He trained them up that they began to enjoy police work, to going out and finding the bad guys and putting them in jail. And out of that, if you're in West Frankfort and it's in, you know, after 11 o'clock and you're walking around or you're riding a bicycle, someone's going to stop and ask you, hey, can we help you out? What are you doing? And you know, they're in the community. They're and he laid down the the foundation for what John Pruton is now our chief is doing and following up on. Good public relations, interaction with the community, a no-nonsense approach that we're going to change your behavior, if you're misbehaving, we're going to, you know, whatever it takes to the level that's needed. If you need to go to jail for a while, if you need just to be, you know, written a citation or something. Right. But he brought a professionalism, I think, that it was there, but it was underneath, and he brought it to the top. He retired.
Leadership is a thing, isn't it?
It is, and, you know, you can't beat experience. But he was retired trooper with captain, and he agreed, and he taught me a lot because just understanding that there's that person that's out there doing your job, and you probably think maybe, well, he's not doing a very good job. Maybe he... But he's got the potential. He saw that. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, I probably was quoted by some of the policemen that I wanted to get rid of everybody. But I just wanted to change. And I didn't know how to do it. But he did, and I got the right guy at the right time.
I think a lot of people are looking about how, because the world is different, we react to it differently, and we've had to change some styles, I think. And
exactly.
We get accustomed to, and especially, you know, the older you get, it's kind of harder to deal with change. Others I've seen. Who become more accustomed to change as they age, and that's I think I might envy them just a bit. You know, you have the state budget. Like I said, you know, there was a time, and I'll bet you felt this. You're on your own, boys, and we were on our own, and we weren't in the best. When did you first find out that we lived in a poverty-stricken area? Because when you live here, I never thought about it. It never occurred to me until I was having a conversation with Walter Wendler, and he says, well, this is a poverty-stricken area, and my mouth drops open. He says, well, you didn't know that? No, I don't think I did.
You know, I think when it really struck home was when my son graduated from SIU, and he got a job in Peoria working for Caterpillar. And he moved up there, and I would go up to see him. And the prosperity that's there from the jobs that are in that area, yep. And they're high-paying jobs. I mean, people will throw up a pole barn and put some John Deere lawnmowers out there, and the next day there's 25 people wanting to buy them.
Right.
Here we struggle to keep a repair shop open. His little community is basically a subdivision, but then the schools pop up, and I just, as I go up there, and then again, it's a reality check. When you drive back home and you pull off the interstate, it's like, wow. And so I think that's when I realized that jobs, also the ability to reinvest in your community, and it's a difference. But I think that was one of reality check. I think also what it made me aware of, and why we've kind of focused on trying to improve our downtown, is appearance is everything.
It is.
And we all have empty buildings, but if we can put some flower pots in front of them, and we can paint them, and we can make them, the appearance-wise, maybe it looks more appealing, more attractive.
We talked about leadership being a thing a couple of moments ago. So is morale.
Absolutely.
If you walk around defeated looking at your feet, you are. And I think that's why when you say, you know, because you knew when you were going to do that mall thing that somebody was going to start throwing bricks, right? You knew
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
But you're saying, look, if we, you know, either we stand up and get to work, or we will languish and sit here and just wallow in it. And you can't let the last thing happen. You got to do the first thing. And sometimes you fail. And,
you know, survival is a contest. I mean, and when I took this job, I realized that, you know, I could oversee a dying community, or I could fight and try to make this, you know, to survive. And so we've decided that we're going to fight. And one of the things I said, if we aren't willing to invest in our own community as a city, then how can I ask you to come and invest?
Good
now,
point.
What the problem is our revenue. We, you know, Kmart closed, and it's so, and a lot of things I see in the state budget, it's beneficial, but it's, you know.
So what do you see in there in the infrastructure or budget that gives you some reason for encouragement for the town?
Well, you know, we've been very fortunate. We're working on a new interchange. We had 3 or 4 years ago, we did an access justification report for the I-57 project, and we're trying to, we have a lot of accidents out there. Oh, man, 57 is just, you know, almost a demolition derby.
Somebody in law enforcement the other day described it to me. He says, you know what we call it on the force? Death Valley.
Yep. Benton and us and West Frankfort are both trying to change that. We're working on an interchange change, and there's a railroad bed just south of 149. It's, we're going to call Burlington Route, and we've spent money, and we've got an access justification report that's been approved by the IDOT. We're in phase one engineering. We got a $1.5 million grant to do that, and that's begun this year. And so we're working to try to, and there's some money in this project that they're, you know, that they have available for us. One of the things that we were able to do, and I went up in April, and we've got an EDA grant, a federal grant, for $4 million to redo the mall area. We're going to do the parking lot, the lights, but also we're going to do the interchange there. We're weeks on.
So you've got safety issue and business issues that you can address that way.
So we're going to change that. And so there's going to be a lot of changes. IDOT wants to redo from 37 to 57 on 149, which is our downtown main drag. And they want to completely redo that. We did a little project on St. Louis Street that was about 4,800 feet long and $2 million. And I thought they were going to kill me because, well, and it's if you live there and you don't have a driveway because the road in front of your house is taken out and you're parking in the alley,
right.
It tends to make things perspective a little different. Here, I'm looking at how much better it's going to be. We're now on the other side of it, and people are very grateful. But during that time, it's difficult.
Wish we had more time. You got to come back because there's more issues to talk about. But for now, we're going to be finished up. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking time to drive down from West Frankfort to join us in the studio.
And I really enjoyed listening to the other mayors. And I want to say that they've made me feel like that I need to step up a little. They really do. They were great.
Well, you know, there's a reason why I pick some of these guys. But I find people like you, Tom. You know, the Harrisburg mayor is a good example.
Absolutely.
Over there. I see a lot of people that are focusing, and they start realizing we've got to rely on ourselves. If we keep looking to Springfield for solutions and money,
it's a tough job.
It's an unreliable source. We have to look to ourselves, and dealing with the state isn't always as easy or as profitable or as well-meaning, I think, as we'd like to think.
I agree.
Times have changed.